This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
You are on Saturday Magazine 24.9. This is Macca. Hope you're all having a good Saturday morning. Recently, Ilias Yashin wrote an article for News Corporation, News Limited in Australia, headed an open letter to Arab Australians about same-sex marriage. Now, Ilias is actually in London. He was previously editor of Star Observer for a couple of years, and we've got him on the line. And it is actually lunchtime in London on Friday. So this is Friday night in Australia. Hey, Ilias, how are you going?
I'm really good. How are you going?
Really good, really good. I see that the article you wrote has actually got quite a huge bit of coverage, not just on Twitter and other social media, but on the news.com.au website. It's got a lot of coverage. So congratulations. What was the initial thought for you to write it? What made you want to write it?
I guess it's something that's been bugging me for weeks in the lead up to the postal survey. It was like a dreaded feeling when the High Court ruled that the postal survey is okay. It's pretty much affirmed that it's going to go ahead. And I don't know. I was just talking to some friends and stuff and. From Arabic speaking backgrounds, and almost all of them are gay, and they were telling me about their experiences of how they've seen some family relatives or distant family relatives post on Facebook about how they compare gay people to pedophiles, or they heard on an Arabic language radio station where they're only interviewing people from the No campaign. Or they've seen Facebook groups that are not normally a religious group, they're not normally political, but all of a sudden they're becoming political and putting homophobic crap on. And a prime example of that is a Facebook group called Lebanese in Australia, and normally they just put a lot of fun, random memes and videos and music videos from the motherland and stuff like that, and all of a sudden they're being really religious and putting homophobic crap and just so out of character. And I don't know, I was also in talks with Randa Catton. She's the CEO of Arab Council Australia, and I used to be a board member of Arab Council Australia, and she was telling me about some other stuff that she's heard from within the community because she's very well connected, and how like a lot of religious leaders, both Muslim and priests and Christian leaders, they're just encouraging their followers to vote no, and they're spouting all these lies about children's welfare and all the usual slippery slope arguments that we have to put up with, and I don't know. Just the more I spoke to people within the community, mostly gay people who are not out to their family at all, the more I felt like something needs to be said, something needed to be done, so I just got writing, and that's the final part. That's what came out in the end.
Well, it's a good read, and I'm interested in it because you have a Lebanese-Palestinian parents. Obviously, incredibly proud of your heritage, and I think one of the challenging questions, Ilias, is how does this fit in? When you come out to your family, which you have, is there the question that then comes, okay, we know you're gay, we're going to, let's say, accept that for the point of discussion, but you can't come out to other people in the community because it's going to reflect badly on us and people will talk. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is exactly what happened to me. I initially came out to my siblings only and a few of my cousins who I'm really, really close to. And when I first came out to them, when I was 20, it was a few months before my 21st birthday when I came out to them, we all came to the agreement that it was best not to tell my parents at the time. And I look back on it and I wasn't ready to come out to my parents at that time anyway, and I wasn't ready to deal with the potential gossiping and backlash that they would face if other people in the extended family found out about me. I was still a uni student at the time as well. I wasn't financially independent at that time. And I was still living with my parents as well. So I guess there is that fear of gossip being spreading throughout the community, especially amongst family members, because as I say in my article, there's been among Arab cultures, everything goes back to the parents. It's the parents before the children. So, for example, when people are gossiping, if people were to be gossiping about me, they wouldn't be saying, oh, Elias is gay. They wouldn't be saying that. They would be saying, the son of Pharaoh and Georgia is gay. It goes to my parents first. And it also, in particular, will go back to my dad, because Arab culture is very patriarchal. So I'll be referred to as the son of Pharaoh. My name wouldn't be mentioned. It was almost like the shame automatically goes to my parents before it gets passed on to me. And I think that affected my decision to agree with my siblings not to tell my parents at the time, because I wanted to protect them from the shame that they would face, and knowing what they've had to go through to sort of give me to move to Australia. And, you know, I was born and raised here and stuff, but the sacrifice they had to make to move to Australia to make sure, and the support they've given me to make sure that I get into university and all that stuff. I felt like it would have been a betrayal to them if I had told them. I eventually ended up telling my mum about 7 years ago. I was dating my ex-boyfriend at the time, and it just got to a point where I was giving her white lies all the time, and she was freaking out that I was becoming a drug addict. So I had to tell her on the spot that, you know, I'm not a drug addict. My mum actually dating somebody, and that person happened to be someone of the same sex. I think when I told her, she sort of knew all along. I think, you know, mothers always know their children more than children know themselves. And I think with my mum, even though she knew, she was just always denying that part of that subconscious in her that knew. My father, unfortunately, I never really got a chance to tell him. He died before I had a chance to. But he died at a time when I wasn't ready to come out to either of my parents anyway. So it's not necessarily a regret that I live. It's not or anything. It's just something that I lived with, and at that time, that's the decision I had made not to tell my dad.
Pretty tough.
To get back to your question, it is tough. Yeah, and you know, my journey is still not over yet. Like, you know, my mum has met my boyfriend for the first time ever this year, and that's something she would never have done, not even a year or 2 years ago. I think her coming to visit me in London probably played a part in that, but still, it just went so well, and I was so floored by how well it went. But at the same time, there's still that, and you know, I can still see that, you know, she doesn't approve 100%. But that doesn't matter at this point. The fact is, what matters is that she's taking baby steps to make it to get there to the point where I want it to be completely okay. It hasn't been easy, but I'm definitely one of the lucky ones in my community.
Justin from Lose Control is helping me do this pre-record. He's actually got a question for you.
I thought I might chime in here because I notice a lot of similarities between your story and mine as being African-American. And the way that religion plays a huge role into... religion and culture plays a huge role in race, and ethnicity plays a huge culture into the acceptance of gays. It's almost as if, and I'll speak quite frankly here, if you're a white gay man, it feels like there's a bit more lenience there. But the thing with like most ethnic cultures, especially as a man, you're meant to be a man.
Yep.
Like you're meant to provide for your woman, for your family,
yep,
have children, etc., and grow old.
Yep.
And if we do anything slightly different than that, then we're almost shunned, even if we weren't gay. So it's quite sad. Do you believe it's going to pass in Australia? Okay, marriage equality.
I beg your pardon.
Do you believe it's going to pass in Australia?
The marriage equality vote.
Do I think what, sorry?
Do you think the yes vote will be more than the no vote for marriage equality in Australia?
Look, I really hope the yes vote wins. I'm just trying to stay hopeful and positive in the whole thing, and I'm a big believer in positivity breeds positivity. So just trying to think positive and just hopefully we will get there. We'll get over that line, and I'm seeing a huge amount of support sprout out on social media for it, but at the same time, all the people who I suspect be voting no, I'm not really being vocal about it on my personal Facebook.
Yeah.
And that these people who I suspect are not are generally extended family members on my Facebook. They've been very quiet about it. So I don't know if it's because there's a level of apathy around there and they don't really care, or if they just don't, or if they know if they say something that they're going to be attacked for it, and they don't want to risk it. It was interesting what you were saying about the religion and plays a role in acceptance, and I do agree that that does play a big role. But with my family, religion really never played a part. I grew up in a Christian household. I was Orthodox, and I was baptized in an Orthodox church and stuff. We celebrate Easter and Christmas. But when I came out to my mum, religion was never brought up. She never said, "Oh, this doesn't abut." No. She never ever based her disappointment or her initial reaction at the time, she never based any of that on religion or her reaction. And with my siblings as well, because initially with my siblings, it wasn't all roses and sunshine. It was all a cultural thing. It's hard to explain. It's just a cultural thing. It's just the idea of this is what they're brought up to believe, that getting married to a woman, having children, living that inverted commas conventional family life is what they think is normal, and anything that breaks that tradition is seen as abnormal, and is seen as bringing shame to the family. Is seen as the parents will think, okay, what have I done? Where have I failed my children in not letting not for them not being able to marry and have kids. And as I said in my article, in our culture, so much pressure, so much about what one's personal success is pinned on, whether they're married and how many children they have, that is far more important than personal success, such as careers and whether you've traveled the world and whatnot. And my whole life I've been totally against that. It's not like I've actively gone against it. It's just, I've always traveled the world. I've always focused on my career and stuff like that. And I'm already breaking the rule by doing those, whether I was straight or gay. My family isn't overly religious at all. If anything, we're probably, borderline agnostic. But I do know in some other Arab Australian families, whether they're Christian or Muslim, the amount of the homophobia that exists in their family is based on religious beliefs. And I think it would be unfair to say that there is a stereotype among people saying that Muslim families are more homophobic than Christian families, and I think that's absolute bullshit. In the Arab world, the Christian families are just as equally homophobic as the Muslim families. Those religious institutions both have homophobic teachings in their holy books. So to say one is more homophobic than the other is just, it's not fair, it's not accurate, and it just feeds into that Islamophobia thing that a lot of the, Western media and Western politicians try to perpetuate. I'm going on a rant here. Sorry about that.
Yeah. I was going to say, I often say to people of faith that have a problem with equality and have a problem with my desire to be able to marry my partner, I remind them that LGBTI people are God's work, and they need to remember that. We're nearly out of time, Elias. I wanted to ask you a quick question. Obviously, you want people to vote yes, and if any of your extended family are listening, I hope that when they get in secret and they get that ballot paper, they put the cross in the yes square. But you're in the UK now, and UK is a very multicultural society as well. Are you feeling, is it any different in the UK? If you were born and raised in the UK, would this situation be any different for you?
No, I don't think it would be any different. I think it would still be the same sort of similar situation that I experienced growing up in Australia. The UK has a very large immigrant population, especially in London. It's a very, very diverse city. And I've met some people from diverse ethnic backgrounds in London, and very different. I think it would still be the same sort of similar situation that I experienced growing up in Australia. The UK has a very large immigrant population, especially in London. It's a very, very diverse city. And I've met some people from diverse ethnic backgrounds in London, and they have strikingly similar experiences to what I have and what some of my friends are going through. And, whether they're from Arab background, whether they're from Indian or Bangladeshi or Pakistani or even coming from, if their family's from Hong Kong or something, it's just strikingly similar. It really is a bit of a pattern to say that, Western culture is definitely far more accepting of homosexuality. But those multicultural communities in Western culture, a lot of that, I think, has to do with the fact that these families, they move to those countries that they try so hard to hold on to the traditions that they brought over with them. And they're worried that, and they see these things that are coming up in the Western culture, they don't see as what they would normally see as normal because they weren't exposed to it in their home country.
In their own, yeah.
But the reality is, in their home countries, homosexuality is becoming far more visible. I've had to remind my mum a few times that, gay bars are becoming far more common in Beirut than ever before.
Yes. Well, it's called gay Arabic, sometimes called gay roof.
Sorry?
It's sometimes called gay route. I mean,
And like one of the a Hollywood icon, Omar Sharif, his grandson, who's also like an emerging actor of sorts, he's openly gay, and he went on Egyptian TV to do an interview in Arabic about what it's like being gay and whatnot. Homosexuality is becoming more visible in the Middle East, and the number of allies, visible and vocal allies, they're increasing, but still a hell of a long way to go. But I think what a lot of people in my similar situation, our parents or our grandparents, they moved to Australia or they moved to the UK or wherever they moved to, they immigrated to, they moved to those countries before the homosexuality became as visible as it is today. So they don't see it as normal regardless. And it's a bit of a challenge where... I'm going on a rant again.
That's all right. We are going to have to go. I'd like you to, the last 30 seconds or so, if you'd like to, in a language other than English, send a message to your community in Australia, those that are listening, what you'd like them to do when they get their ballot paper and why.
Oh, you want me to say that in a message?
Yeah, in...
Okay.
Go for it.
I can say something in Arabic.
Yeah.
My broken Arabic. الحب وحب وإن شاء الله أنتوا تحطم أيوة في الجريدة عشان لما تحطوا أيوة تصير الميح لأن إحنا للشعب مثل أنا وكل شيء وإيش ليش ما كيف أنا أقبلت قبل الحب وحب وهذا أكثر شيء. That was my broken Arabic.
Cool.
Basically, all I said, الحب وحب, which is Arabic for love is love. So yeah.
Fantastic. Ilias, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate you giving up your lunch hour in sunny London. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Best of luck, and we'll probably speak to you again a little bit closer to the before we get the result of the vote. But thank you so much for your time, and thank you for writing the article. It's really appreciated.
Not a problem. I appreciate you inviting me on air.
Cheers. You have a nice lunch, mate.
You too. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.